Ian McMahon, is the councillor for the CBD and Greenpoint. We welcome him on the line. Welcome, Ian. Great to have you.
Yeah, thanks very much. Good morning to you and your listeners.
How is the CBD and Greenpoint doing? What are the challenges that you have in your ward?
We have multiple challenges, as always. Obviously, homelessness is a challenge in the CBD. I think everyone's aware of that. And we also have congestion. Every time a large ship, or the Queen Mary comes in, traffic gets a bit bad and we have to put out those traffic wardens to help at the traffic lights. So we have a lot of challenges, but it's all in a day's work.
I'm sure you don't really mind for the ships to come into the harbour. I'm sure the restaurants and the establishments are kind of full then, aren't they?
Absolutely. Obviously, the city liaises with the ship companies, so, getting buses and all of that sort of stuff, because obviously you come to Cape Town for 2 days, what do you want to do? You want to go up the mountain, so there's a few things you really do want to do. So all of that's laid on. And whenever I get a resident moaning about the congestion, I say, yes, but look at the billions of rands that we're getting annually from this industry, over 70 ships in a season,
Yeah, I resided in your ward for a long time, actually, and I was a bit of a city slicker, and then I exchanged the city for the suburbs, and
I grew up.
I did with my two dogs, and I won't give up the suburbs for anything. How's the safety and security?
It is always a bit of a challenge everywhere. I suppose what does make it, a little bit different to more residential areas is that we have the entertainment sector. In the ward, we have over 900 licensed venues. And while most of them are fabulous restaurants and burger places, there are a number of nightclubs, and we work very hard to try and make sure that these venues comply. And the additional thing about the nightclubs is it sort of often involves drunk people falling out of them whenever they close, or even if they stay longer. And that brings a lot of the sort of opportunistic crime, cell phone theft, because you're drunk and you're holding your phone waiting for your Uber. So we deal with all of that. The year before last, the mayor's law enforcement program, he added in another 100 CBD law enforcement officers. The unintended consequence of that positive move was some of the crime has now gone out to the fringes. So we're seeing a rise in sort of the crime into the suburban areas, Tumbus Kloof, Gardens, Greenpoint even. But all of these things we have to deal with. And obviously the addition of technologies, it's one of the things we have to do to sort of get past all these things and make sure we create a safe, enabling environment for residents.
Ian McMahon is a councillor for the CBD and the Greenpoint area. And if there's maybe an issue that you wish to raise with him that applies to a ward that you're living in or trading in, you're welcome via WhatsApp on 0725671567. Your calls anytime on 0214460567. While I'm not resident in your ward, I do have a business in Long Street. And I did see an increase in a little bit of aggressive begging over the past couple of months. Are you aware of that? I've also actually witnessed a couple of muggings and tourists were involved.
Yeah. So strangely enough, even that sort of softer crime, and I say softer, but no crime is very nice. But it also has seasons, believe it or not. So when we're in the height of our tourist summer season, there's a lot of tourists here handing over 100, £1 notes, which means 200 rand notes, or 20 rand, whatever, what I'm saying. But there's a lot of tourists supplying a lot of money and all that. And as tourist season starts to dip and winter starts to rise, that sort of dries up a little bit. So you do get a rise of the aggressive begging and all of those things. And obviously, we've got measures in place. We've got the CCID, which has 327 public safety officers, all with body cams and all the necessary bits and pieces. We have tourism law enforcement units. We have, you know, the whole thing. But it's all in an effort to try and sort of, you know, keep it managed, because you're never going to be able to put your hand up and say we're going to eradicate it. It's all about just how managing the crime. Last night, one of my colleague councillors and I, we were with one of the neighbourhood watch groups in our office here till 8 o'clock, and the acting station commander, the colonel from the SAPS, was with us, because the neighbourhood watch and the residents are also concerned about sort of crime and XYZ. So it's about engaging, it's about being honest, it's about, you know, understanding what you can do and can't do, and just managing it, Clans.
Yeah. The CCID has been doing a wonderful job, and that's obviously in conjunction with the city of Cape Town. Just in terms of crime trends and statistics, what are the trends that you can inform us about there?
So there is a huge rise in drug-related crimes. And I have to be careful how I say this, but you know, there are a lot of people sort of in the CBD injecting drugs. There's a lot of discarded needles. I mean, yes. You know, the program, the needle exchange program, dishes out 178,000 needles every quarter. Luckily, they get 93% of them back in the exchange program, but that still leaves 15,000 needles unaccounted for, whatever the number is. But so we met with them last week to see how can we ramp it up, and so that's one of the crimes, and the unfortunate sort of change of whatever. But you know, years back, drugs were very expensive, and now you can get a bag of unga for 20 rand. And unga is a heroin-based synthetic drug that is injected. Mm. And so when people say, why would someone steal my window wiper or my hubcap? Because that's probably got a 10 rand value or a 5 rand value, and it's halfway to buying your daily fix.
Yeah, it is a problem, and people have spoken to us about it at Cape Talk, finding needles on the streets. Talk to us maybe just about the strategy around safe drug use that clearly is being employed around the city centre. What is it designed to do?
So there's two angles to the needle exchange program, and I will say that, you know, needle exchange program is one of those black or white issues. There's no grey area. You get people that understand its purpose and its raison d'etre, and you get others that just don't get it. They're sort of, you know, you're talking to someone and the garage door comes down. You could see their face, you know, because they just don't understand. Why are you giving a clean needle to someone to help him sort of, you know, inject drugs? So the one stage is obviously from a health point of view, that you're using a clean needle. The needle exchange program, they issue them an amount of needles. They get a container to put the used needle in, and you need to bring back your container in order to get more. And that's why that sort of high success rate of 93% return. But it's not just that. It's also that they need to come once a week or once whenever to come and get their clean needles. And you've got a touch point. So you have a touch point with their clients in Area West, which is quite a large area, but it covers the CBD. They've got 8,900 clients, needle injecting clients. The touch point is that you're able to speak to these people. You're able to build up a rapport with the aim, with the eventual aim of putting them on a replacement therapy program, a methadone replacement program, and helping the person wean off the drugs. So there is a long-term plan, and it's not just sort of we don't want you to use a dirty needle. It's also we understand and we're with you in what you're going through, but we have other measures. So it's about that kind of program as well, Clarence.
Are there any inherent dangers in needles being discarded on the sidewalk that we should be aware of?
Obviously, a needle is sharp, and it's always a danger, especially, you know, in that context. And so we do, there is hotspot points where we get a lot of needles that are dumped, and we have to ask some really honest and stern questions to the needle exchange program guys. You know, how how do we solve this? What do we do? And so there is a hotline number that they can call, and these guys have people that go out. We also promote, and some of the SIDS, all the local SIDS, Greenpoint SID and the City Center SID, there's organizations, the Greenpoint Residents Association, they have been trained how to do needle picking, and they have been given the equipment. You get a needle bin, a bucket, and you get a set of tongs and gloves and all that. So that if a resident walking along the fan walk, for example, sees a needle, they can contact any one of their local sort of community organizations, and it can get dealt with. That is the long sort of term plan of how we eradicate the needles. CCID in the city center offers a bit of a soup kitchen. So we're, once a week, when they're bringing back their needles, I think it's on a Friday, they offer someone a slice of bread and a cup of soup at the same time as they're doing the needle replacement, just to give it a little added incentive. But again, you've got to be clear of rewarding someone. So you don't want to reward someone for this, but you just want to make it front of mind that this is the process.
The concourse area around the Cape Town Station deck area has been flagged as an area where lots of needles are visible to passers-by. Is that one of the areas that you've identified as well? And what exactly then, if there are specific areas where people are throwing their needles about after using them, what are you doing to nip that trend in the bud?
So that against that, hence the engagement last week with the Needle Exchange Program guys. They have, I think it was about 14 hotspot sites that are regular sort of sites. Those get visited every day, and they just go from the one site to the next. If there's a new site, and I can't recall, to be honest with you, whether the Strand Street Concourse was one of those hotspot sites.
It was the station, precinct. Concourse.
Yeah, we shall certainly make sure that that is added, and that their needle pickers are going there to do that as well. Obviously, anecdotally, we've asked why are there hotspot sites, and it is related to SAPS and law enforcement, that you know when they see someone needles are discarded so that they don't find the needle on them. If they find the needles, then you know they do a more extensive search to look for the drug. So
what's your instruction or request from CCID law enforcement, maybe even the police, when encountering somebody who's busy using a needle?
So I can't speak to the instruction of our sort of law enforcement arms, but I know that anecdotally that there is not a I don't know how to say it. Look, the using of drugs and that is illegal, but if they encounter someone and he has drug paraphernalia but no drugs, then you know that they let the go guy with a bit of they let him go with a bit of a warning. And obviously one of the concerns we brought up with the needle exchange guys was the mindset of doing this so openly, you know, and something has happened over the last while to give the drug users this mindset that I can sit on a main road and wrap my arm with something and inject myself, and that needs to change. And we did convey that
otherwise you'll have 9,000
something you hide.
Otherwise, you'll have 9,000 extra people in jail, and there's no space for 9,000 extra people. So it is illegal, but you're not policing it at this moment in time. Ian McMahon is my...
I'm not saying we're not policing it. It is being policed. And as I said, I can't talk really to what instruction has been given to the police. So last night, the colonel said they have many, many drug, but obviously they've got to find drugs. Sure. And so when it was just 2 weeks ago.
Ian, if you don't mind, we're going to need to take a quick little break. And I just want to, again, remind folks listening that we are talking to you, to Ian McMahon, councillor for the CBD and Greenpoint. And an opportunity, if you're living here, working here, you have a business here, for you to direct your concerns. Maybe you want to congratulate the councillor on whatever efforts are afoot to make the space a little better for everybody that uses it. You're welcome via WhatsApp on 072-567-1567.
Streaming countrywide on Prime Media Plus.
On DSTV Channel 885.
And across the city.
On 567 AM.
11:24 D's. Welcome back, Views and News, through till 12. Me, Clarence, and Councillor Ian McMahon on the line with us, Councillor for CBD and the Greenpoint area. That's our focus area for today. And there's a voice note for you, Ian. Let's take a listen, Joe.
Morning, South Africa. I just heard the gentleman say, you know, that there's obviously an uptick in drug-related crimes and things like that. I mean, if you're going to have a heroin needle exchange area that's situated in the city center, then you are obviously attracting people who do heroin into that area. So there will obviously then be an increase in crime. The whole exchanging needles for clean things, where's the evidence that it actually assists and gets those people off the street? There's none, because they just continue using. So there's one of your problems. You've probably got an exchange center in the city center, and thus you're attracting the people that do those drugs and the heroin or whatever to the city. So obviously there's going to be an increase in drug-related crimes. I mean, that's a no-brainer.
Ian McMahon, how would you respond to that voice note?
I would say to Neil that it's not the city's program. It's a separate organization that runs the program. They have offices all over the metro, from down south to the north and all that. So they run these programs all over. And also that they are giving us information that these people are drug users already. So it's not an attractive, it's not something that's attracting them. They're not coming to the CBD because they get a clean needle. They were using dirty needles. But I think Clarence, that there's never a gray area in needle exchange. You're either for it and you're against it, because people just can't get it. But I think it's going to be too much to be able to go in. I mean, that would need a couple of hours really to sort of really, and that wouldn't be my role, because that would have to be one of the needle exchange program guys.
I understand that, but they could only function, they must function with the express permission of the city of Cape Town, surely.
Oh yes, yeah, no, they do, but we're not running it. It's an NGO, and like you have NGOs dealing with homelessness and those things, that it's an NGO that does this. I just wanted to make it clear for Neil.
I think the efficacy of the program, it's not new. Surely there are best case scenarios that we can look to around the world. I've been to Frankfurt and I've seen exactly the same kind of space. It was like zombie land. It wasn't a very pretty sight. The question maybe from Neil was, should it be in the city center?
So as I said, they are all over the city. There's in Bellville and down south. Weinberg has just switched it on recently, so it's not just the city centre.
So it's in the CBD.
Remembering, in Area West, which covers from Milnerton and the Atlantic Seaboard in the CBD, they've got 8,000 drug injectable drug users. So they've got some stats and numbers, but I think that maybe one day we should get them on to talk about the efficacy of their program.
We have had them on, and I think it's a credible program. Okay. But like you say, there's no gray areas. Yeah, people are strongly invested in one of two positions. Let's take a listen to another voice note in.
Good morning, guys. I just about this needle exchange thing. I think it's ridiculous, quite honestly. Here in Oakdale area in Bellville, we have all these vagrants sleeping around in the various parks and next to schools and things. They're all using needles, and they leave them lying around wherever in the parks. And this is a danger for the kids. The other day I went just next to Bellville North Primary School, and I picked up 5 needles. It's almost like you're encouraging them by having a needle exchange thing. I don't know. That's my opinion. John from Bellville. Thank you.
John, your opinion is appreciated, and it has been expressed before. So let's just take the other one about law enforcement. Joe,
Clarence, good morning. Great show, as always. The point is, I travel from Mitchell's Plain to Claremont every morning, right? Now, they have these railings where you walk between in order to get to the bus, to the bus stop, I mean to your bus, right? In every cubicle. But now, I can't even get there because the guys, they put up makeshift tents there. And some of them are just sitting there, laying there with a blanket, whatever. And then they, when they open their eyes, the first thing that they shoot up. And I mean, my point is, what I'm trying to say is law enforcement doing nothing about this? I mean, they urinate everywhere. And it's pathetic in the mornings. You don't know what to, if you must, I mean, I'm 64. I can't climb over the railings. You know what I mean? I can, but I mean, it's a bit difficult, but it's inconvenient. Why must I do that? And law enforcement must do something about it. Thank you. Bye.
Okay, unfortunately, Ian, it doesn't apply to the area in question that we're focusing on, which is your ward. Ian McMahon is the councillor for CBD and Greenpoint. But do you have a response?
Well, as you know, that you know, removing people from the streets is a tricky topic. And I'm sure everyone has read the media. For anyone to remove someone from the streets, an eviction order has to be sought. And the city, sadly, has to resort to the courts in order to obtain an eviction order and comply with the PIE Act. And so that is in the case in all the evictions that we had. You know, the people who are the respondents of this eviction order, you know, we try and offer, or we have to offer voluntary relocations to safe spaces.
Ian, can I interrupt you? We're just out of time for now, but we're going to take a news break. We're going to come back to this conversation because we've got to get into the conversation. Prevention is certainly better than cure when it comes to removing homeless people who have set up camp. And what maybe can be done better on that particular front, the prevention part. And that means law enforcement needs to respond quicker to such camps being established.
Views and news with Clarence Ford.
Share your perspective.
Welcome. Only on Cape Talk.
Welcome back. 11:37 Views and News now through to 12 o'clock. Ian McMahon, our guest. We're keeping him for a short while longer, councillor for the CBD and Greenpoint. We've had plenty of messages in via the WhatsApp line. People troubled with the policy of issuing needles, clean needles. And I think we've nearly exhausted that particular issue. I don't think I need to read out because they are similar, the messages that have come through. I'd prefer to just look at the plans for the homeless in this particular city in the little time that we have left. But I did interrupt you, Ian, and I wanted you to complete the point that you were beginning to make just before we went to news.
Sure. Well, basically, it was about our law enforcement. We have bolstered, obviously, the needs and bolster law enforcement resources in the areas that need them. Our DPU, which is our Displaced People's Unit, has been bolstered with additional members, and there's more members coming in the new fiscus in July. And this is in response to some of the petty crime that is coming and related to the topic that we're talking about. So there is a lot of work being done. And then obviously, you know, we are working on building more safe spaces so that we have alternatives to living on the street. And that is something that we're very close to finishing as well, also in the CBD.
Okay, let's talk about one such safe place. We're talking about a homeless safe space. We've spoken to the Premier about it, and the Mayor as well. A safe space coming to Greenpoint soon. Just are we still on schedule for the delivery of that safe space?
Yeah, we're still on schedule. We had a two-week delay with some paperwork, but we're still on schedule. Our schedule is to finish by the 30th of June. We've split the construction into two phases. Phase one is the sort of the bricks and mortar, let's call it. And that has been done, and they're busy starting to tile on Monday. And then phase two is the preparation for the outdoor area where the prefab buildings will be, and the bathrooms and all of that will be prefabbed. And that starts next week. So The handover for phase two is 29th of May, and the program is 35 days. So you know, by all accounts, they will have finished sort of all the building around D-Day, early first week of June. And we just have to, you know, fit it out and put all the beds and all the soft sort of stuff in. And so we are looking for a sort of late June, you know, ribbon cutting. And that's 300 beds, Clarence, in the CBD. And it's much needed. If you look at the nearby NGOs, the Haven, for example, and they added on another 60 beds to their Napier Street. Yesterday I had a 2-hour, it didn't mean to be 2 hours, with the CEO of the Haven. We ended up having 3 coffees, and he was just telling me at their Moira Henderson site in District 6, just by replacing the single beds to double or triple bunks, he's changed the occupancy from 70 to 140 beds, and those are big jumps, and you know, those beds were donated by a company, a student accommodation in the CBD, who went to the CCID saying we're upgrading our beds, and it sort of ended up getting to the Haven, and now that's another sort of 60 or 70 beds we're going to get into in that area. So all of these small, albeit insignificant numbers of a few beds here and a few beds there. Remember, just 2 weeks ago, the city opened a new safe space in Durbanville, and that also has a few beds. Well, I don't want to say a few, but you know, it's another 40 beds. But these all add to the bigger bed space needs across the metro.
People asking also about the area around the castle, which doesn't fall within the jurisdiction of the city of Cape Town. It does fall within the South African National Defence Force jurisdiction, where another set of rules apply. Do you want to just clarify that situation there?
Certainly. So one of our first evictions that we sadly had to go to court on, that court case was in October last year, and judgment has been reserved, and we call it for the CBD 7, because it's 7 sites across the CBD. So, for example, Batenhoff Street, Strand Street along the railway line, as you leave to go onto the elevated freeway on the left by the gas turbine, under the cutoff bridge, Mill Street Bridge. So those are the 7 sites. And we're waiting judgment on that. So as soon as we get judgment, and we're hoping it will be in our favor, so that we can help people sort of, you know, turn to something more dignified.
How do you prevent the further proliferation of such sites?
So these evictions come with a couple of sort of prongs, I would say. So the eviction is on the people who have been there. It has come at the moment with some interdicts to prevent anyone else from occupying that same space as well. So that is again a preventative measure. And also, we are in certain areas having to look at engineering solutions. You know, if people have been sort of wanting to stay here, maybe we've got to, you know, put some cavias in the ground and make it sort of uninhabitable. But in terms, going back to just for the castle, that sort of the triangle of ground right next to the moat, that is Department of Public Works, a national department, and as far as I've heard, they are in the throes of the paperwork needed to apply for an eviction order there too.
Ian, are we going to have to wrap it there? We are out of time. Ian McMahon is the councillor for the CBD and the Green Point area, and a great little insight gleaned from him into the kind of opportunities and challenges that exist in that particular area. Clearly, plenty. At least we have a city centre, a CBD that is still working for the businesses that are located there. More people are moving in and living in that city centre itself. Very different to some of the other CBDs in this country.